Now I'm joined in studio by Shirley Smith. Shirley, you're most welcome. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you very much, Declan.
Great to have you. You're talking about a topic now, a sort of a not like unusual topic, but an interesting one, because normally I would think of, you know, when you're rearing children, right, when they're very small, they're troublesome or whatever, you know, you kind of run into problems. Certainly when they run into teenagers, you can run into problems. Now we're going to talk to them about 18 to 24-year-olds. You don't expect as much here, but yet when I see what you're going to talk about, there are lots of things to be considered, aren't there?
Yes, I suppose the reason that we picked this topic for this month is because I suppose with the housing crisis and with the other different social, for other different social reasons, children are remaining at home for a lot longer than they would have, say, 10, 20 years ago. So today we're talking about being a parent to a young adult aged 18 to 24 years. And it is a lot of change. Like, as our children grow and become more independent, it can mean significant changes for us as parents. And it can also coincide with life changes for us as adults, as parents, like the menopause, caring for older parents, reinventing your relationship with your spouse because you're not as focused on rearing small children. And to be honest, it's a parenting stage that isn't often talked about. So we just thought it might be good to cover some helpful tips to navigate that journey today.
Yeah, it's a sort of a parenting sort of stage you almost drift into rather than, as you say, actively go into. I know it's sort of you're braced for teenage years, you know what I mean? But you're not braced for this stuff.
No, and I just thought it might be helpful to go in to for parents even of 16 to 18 year olds to listen with conscious thought and maybe put some thoughts and plan ahead for the changes that are coming, because it can be have a bigger impact, I'd say, on parents more so than young people, and that's why it's good to kind of have a chat about what tips and ideas might help at this time.
Okay, and what would be the most important sort of tips we could give?
The biggest tip I would say is communication. So staying connected and spending time with older children, especially when they're 18 to 24 years, can be a real challenge for parents, because their friends and their social life take precedence often in their minds anyway. So learning new ways to keep the lines of communication open really is key. WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger or other forms of social media, kind of set up a family WhatsApp group or a Facebook Messenger group, because you're then leaning into young people's natural tendency to enjoy and interact with technology. So giving young people advance notice of a date or a time that you'd like to do something together, or even if there's a family member that's coming to visit, letting them know in this WhatsApp group or family messenger group can really assist with success. And you're letting your adult child know that they're just as important about being kept updated. So often we can tell maybe a partner or our other family, extended family members, key pieces of information, and we might forget to tell our adult child because they're in and out of the house. We might think that they know. So putting things in can really help with success. The other key bit, I suppose, that from listening to parents, they can get really disheartened if their child cancels on them. So just say they've agreed to go for lunch on Saturday, and Friday night or even Saturday morning, they get a text or there's a conversation. Mam, Dad, I've forgot about this particular event that was happening with my friends. So I'm so sorry, but I'm going to have to cancel. And parents can get disheartened by that. And what we'd kind of say is, you get as much kudos for the invite as you do for actually following through and going to having the lunch date. So don't give up. It's important that you keep trying and just offer, you know, text them on a new date that you could suggest, and just keep leaning in and keep trying to reach out and connect and think about their hobbies and interests so that you are suggesting events or activities that they might enjoy doing with you. But yeah, just keep offering, because you get the they feel the love and that they matter just from the invite. And then obviously following it up from by going to whatever you've planned to do together is the second time that they get told you matter by my actions. So if you don't feel disheartened, don't take it personally. It's their age and stage, and just keep leaning in and reaching out and offering the invite.
You can look on the positive side and say, well, at least you've saved loads of money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes, that's it. But yeah, as I say, parents just can sometimes feel, oh, I offer, I always ask, and he or she doesn't take me up on it. And what we'd say is keep trying.
Okay.
So then the next one is problem solving. So this is really young people aged 18 to 24 years. This is what they would tell us is their biggest bugbear. So if your older child may come to you with, they might come to you with a problem or an issue that they're experiencing, just like we would a friend, ask them, do you need a listening ear, some advice, or help to brainstorm solutions? The key is, I suppose, that young people would like their parents to know, it's not to jump into giving advice or offering solutions that you would use in their situation and to wait until you're asked.
Yeah, because there's nothing more annoying than somebody coming in saying, what you need to do is this, this, this and this and everything will be all right. If life was that simple, it would be great. But a listening ear is far more important.
Yes, and I suppose we've been in the habit, though, as parents mm-hmm. of giving advice and offering solutions. And there was a parenting time when that was useful because we needed to help protect our children. But now that they're adults, we need to really up our game in helping them to feel listened without judgment and help them to develop their own problem solving skills. Because a lot of times people do have the answers within themselves. They just need the space to have the rant or whatever. The other thing is, you know, your child might choose a solution that may not be something you would pick. It doesn't mean it's a bad idea. And as human beings, we learn far more when we experience mistakes that we've made. So although it may be hard, taking a step back and actively listening will be far more appreciated and encourage future conversations between you than jumping in too fast with the solutions.
Yeah.
And then if they do look for, oh, mom or dad, will you help me brainstorm possible solutions? Ask them to give you all their ideas first before you offer some. And then they get them to divide them into, is this a good idea or a bad idea? So basically, what might happen if I take this action with this problem? What might the possible outcomes be? So wait until they've given you all their suggestions first before you offer yours. So that's kind of...
Yeah, no, that's brilliant advice because, as I say, jumping in and just sort of saying, do this, this, this and this, you're helping them come to their own conclusions in a way by just listening and maybe just giving the odd little bit of a affirmative or whatever now and then.
Yeah, and they'll walk away feeling heard. That's mm-hmm. the key bit. Then with routines and family traditions, so an older child is far more likely to connect and link in with you if you keep to family traditions and have predictable routines so that they know roughly where you are and can choose to seek you out when they're looking for it. So, for example, if you've always eaten Sunday lunch together, they'll be more inclined to keep to this tradition as it's a weekly or event. Or if you're a parent who's always hugged your child hello or goodbye, they may start initiating hugs into adulthood. So traditions and routines really help ground us and connect us as a, it's like an invisible string with your family. So keeping those things up, even if they're not about, is really important. And then this one, I think, is my next tip is to rediscover yourself. So your life is changing. You've got more free time. And the relationships with your friends or if you've a spouse, that might all be on the change because you have more free time. So rediscovering your own hobbies, expanding your social network and looking after yourself at this key stage is important as you're modelling to your children that they need to do likewise. So children do as we do, not as we say. So it's really important for us to look at ways to expand your social network and try out new hobbies. Cum and Adina have great activities and hobbies to check out, as do the Yall Community Health Project. And both are local organisations that have affordable, low-cost activities to help you change career, find new hobby, expand your social network. So it's worth checking out their Facebook pages or calling into them to find out more. And they're really welcoming.
Absolutely, they are. Yeah, absolutely.
And then your relationship with your spouse or family, like older adult siblings, may also be changing. As up to now, your time may have been prioritised for parenting young children. Now that they are growing, it's important to carve out time for yourself as well as time with your spouse or extended family. And communication, as always, is key as parents navigate these changes with the adults who are important in their lives. You know, if you're always leaning into your spouse, they might feel it's getting claustrophobic in here. So just having your own activities and things that you do for yourself is really important. And the next one, I suppose, is one that parents would talk to us about as a big frustration for them. It's important to let go and to teach new skills. So you might find that your adult child at 18 doesn't want or is resisting picking up the phone and calling their GP or their dentist when they need essential appointments. And it's really essential, I suppose, that parents do start handing that baton over to their child, because legally now they're an adult. So kind of encouraging them to make the call and saying to them, oh, you're an adult now, so, you know, the GP or dentist will expect that you're the person making the calls for yourself. And talking them through what that experience might be like. So when you answer, it's going to be the secretary or, you know, and how to book an appointment and that. But be encouraging, but do pass on the baton rather than making the calls. Because eventually the GP surgery or the dentist surgery is going to turn around and say, I'm sorry, that person is now an adult, so they're going to have to call themselves. And it's not them being cruel, it's just that they are legally an adult.
Absolutely. No, it's a very difficult one, because I could imagine if a mother or father were worried about their child, they might phone and make an appointment for the child to go. But unless the 18 to 24-year-old is willing to go, it's a bit of a waste of time. Equally, you would sometimes as a GP certainly get people ringing up saying, how's my son doing? How's my daughter doing? That's a total no-no area for GPs to go to, because they now have a relationship with the young adult, and the young adult trusts them to keep whatever they're told to themselves and not to discuss it with the mammy and daddy. So it's a whole difficult area.
It is, because it can be stressful. If you have an 18 or 24-year-old child, you know, your child is still under your roof and you're worried about their health and well-being.
Yeah.
So it is kind of, you're navigating that stressful situation. And a lot of GPs do ask a young person, is it okay for me to share with your parent? And if the young person says no, they have to respect that. So it is like walking a tightrope for parents when they're worried about their child's health and well-being particularly. But it is important that we respect that they're now adults and that we have to let that side of things go, you know, and keep an eye on them.
True, but no GP would sort of reject a parent ringing up saying, my son is coming to see you next week. I'd just like to say this, this, this and this. The GP doesn't have to give any information out there, but he's just taking in information, because sometimes when a child sits or a 24-year-old sits in front of them, they don't necessarily tell you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
True, true. So that's really helpful. You know, picking up the phone and giving information is okay if you're concerned. And then my takeaway thoughts. As your child is now a young adult, you have less control and say in their life. Be a friend more than a parent. Yes, express your values and beliefs, particularly if they still live in your home. But where possible, try to be non-judgmental in your interactions. Look out for opportunities to connect, as at this stage it is more seize the moment and making the most of the time you do spend with your child or young adult. Expand your social network and hobbies. Take risks. It will enhance your well-being and make for interesting conversations. And as always, Yall Family Resource Initiative have a drop-in clinic every Tuesday morning for free, confidential parenting advice or tips. Outside of Tuesday morning, just drop us a text or WhatsApp or give us a call on 086 047 1060.
And it's an absolutely brilliant service, I have to say. You probably had a clinic this morning, did you?
Yeah.
Walk in. Yeah. After a long weekend, it's always a little bit more difficult. But it's a great, great service, the All Family Resource Initiative, and people should make use of it.
Thank
Shirley,
you very much.
Thanks a million for everything.
Thanks, Declan.